Nearly two decades ago, a black woman named Kalisha White applied for a team leader position at Target and worried that her application had been ignored because of her race. So she sent it back in with the name Sarah White and slightly fewer qualifications and got an interview. Eventually, she won a class action lawsuit against Target. 20 years later, a new study shows not much has changed. Economists from University of California, Berkeley and University of Chicago conducted what they called a discrimination audit, sending 83,000 job applications to 108 companies, some applications with traditionally white-sounding names, some with distinctive black-sounding names. And they found, well, we're joined by Berkeley economist Patrick Klein, one of the study's authors. Professor Klein, what did you find?
Well, what we found was that applications with distinctively black names were called back about 10% less often than their white counterparts, despite having characteristics that are otherwise the same as those white applications.
I want to talk a little bit about the applications because I'm sure people are wondering, well, 10%, maybe there's some other reason for this. So let's talk about the applications. What was on them? How'd you set up the study?
So we put a lot of work into creating applications that would look realistic. So if you apply to a job posted by a major company these days, you'll have to fill out your employment history. You might have to take a personality test. We automated that entire process, and we eventually had bots fill out all of those fields. And then we also created a resume that was uploaded for every applicant wherever we were able to. And to our knowledge, we actually have the highest response rate that's ever been garnered from one of these studies.
And what were some of the names that were the white names or the black names?
So the white names were names that are very common, like Emily or Greg. And examples of black names would be Jamal or Lakeisha. These are names that most people recognize as being distinctively white or distinctively black.
Yeah, and we're going to rush to say that we know that there are black Americans that are named William, you know, or John.
Yes.
I mean, this was just a way of trying to get at what discrimination there might be. And you said, on average, the applications from candidates with the black names had fewer responses. Did you do any follow-up with those companies and ask any of those people why this application over that application?
No, we haven't reached out to the companies yet. Our guess is that they would have a hard time answering the question of why did you favor this applicant over this other applicant. And the reason is because these are major companies that were selected because they have a national employment footprint. So we sampled these companies from the Fortune 500 companies. Companies like this, the hiring decisions are spread all throughout the country. And despite having very sophisticated screening algorithms and application portals that in many cases are outsourced to third parties, ultimately these questions come down to the decision of some human somewhere. In fact, one of our key findings was that discrimination is actually more prevalent at companies where more phone numbers called us back, which we interpret as a measure of the decentralization of the hiring process. So suppose that company A called us back 100 times. Were we contacted by 100 distinct phone numbers? That would be extreme decentralization. Or were we only contacted by 5 different phone numbers? If each contact was a different phone number, that was a very strong predictor of discrimination against black names. What we think is going on here is that some places have different hiring practices than others. In some places, it's not very internally regulated by HR practices. So whoever's maybe working a shift at that restaurant that day can sift through the applications and just decide who they want to call in for an interview next week. At other places, there's more hoops that you have to jump through before you can decide to call someone back. Maybe you have to run it against a few other people. And at those places, there seems to be less discrimination.
Right. And we know that in some parts of the business world, there's an effort to look for diversity. So if it's a trained HR person, they may be more likely to do that and to realize they're just a bias they didn't even know they had and to maybe override that. I mean, we don't
know.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. But you briefed the Department of Labor on the findings. What did they say?
Well, I can't share exactly what they said, but I think there was a lot of interest in seeing a scientific measure of discrimination. Testing for discrimination is very difficult, right? And so legal battles over discrimination are often very contentious because companies will often be investigated for discrimination based upon a single complaint. And a key piece of evidence might be that a company has a very low fraction of some protected group, say African-Americans or women. But when you see a very low employment share, you don't really know whether that low employment share is arising because of discrimination or because of something else. It could be that not many people applied to that job, or the qualifications of people applying to the job is different across groups. Here, everything else was held constant. And so these patterns by sector and for particular companies are telling us that discrimination is actually much more concentrated than the previous literature had been able to measure. Roughly half of the callbacks lost due to discrimination in our experiment were accounted for by the top 20% of discriminating firms. And that came as a surprise to us, and it's perhaps an optimistic message, actually. It suggests that this isn't really a needle in the haystack problem. And it seems possible that perhaps by imitating the best practices of the companies that are doing a good job in terms of bias, that the 20% of companies that seem to be doing a very bad job can get their act together and provide a more equitable and inclusive workplace.
We know you spoke to the Labor Department. You can't tell us too much about that conversation, except you did share with them which industries you found this in the most. Where did you see this?
Discrimination against Black names was most prevalent in the auto services and dealer sector. In general, discrimination tended to be concentrated in customer-facing sectors like retail and apparel, eating establishments. There was much less discrimination in more what you might think of as back office type jobs and industry. So for instance, freight and transport sector had very low levels of discrimination against Black names. For gender, we actually found discrimination against men was prevalent in the apparel sector, whereas we found discrimination against women was prevalent in the heavier industries like the auto sector.
But again, the thing maybe we don't know is why it's happening. It could just be a bias that that company's not even aware of. That training to overcome that bias could maybe change that company's perception. It could be that the company is racist. And yet the thing we do seem to know from this is that not much has changed. I mean, you have Kalisha White doing her own experiment with Target and winning a lawsuit then. And there was also another paper more than a decade ago from the University of Chicago, your partner in this research, which looked at applicants in just Boston and Chicago and found candidates named Emily or Greg did better than applicants named Lakeisha or Jamal. Were you surprised to find pretty much the same thing so many years later?
It's true, and in one sense, it's depressing. I think what is quite new here is being able to figure out whether that's just some ambient level of background implicit bias endemic in our society, or whether it's really something that is concentrated in a few bad actors. And one read of what we're finding is that it's extremely concentrated. And that suggests that maybe the bad actors can be turned into good actors by following company-specific policies and practices like HR policies, having somebody else sign off on your decisions instead of allowing the local manager to have complete discretion might be a way of dealing with fundamental biases that are hard to directly attack.
Yeah. That's University of California, Berkeley Professor Patrick Klein, one of the authors of a study along with researchers from the University of Chicago, a discrimination audit sending 83,000 job applications to 108 companies, some with white names, some with distinctive Black names, and finding that the response to the resumes and job applications was about 10% less for the Black name applicants. Professor Klein, thank you so much for sharing this with us.
Thanks for having me. It was a pleasure.